Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to be with you this afternoon and are excited every time we have an opportunity to go to God's Word and to hear what He has to say to the questions that may be on your heart today. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions, and we will do our best at all times to let the Bible speak. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. The lines are open, 308-9564. We try to impress upon the minds of everyone how important it is to only listen to God's Word on the things that pertain to life and godliness. And He has given us what He has to say in His Word, or what we call the Bible. And so we should be able to go there every time without exception to find His truth, that we might be obedient to His will. There's a passage in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. You may be familiar with this text. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." And so we want to encourage you to ask, to knock, to seek today by way of calling in your questions, and we will go to God's Word for the answer. Again, the lines are open right now, so go ahead and call. This is a live call-in radio broadcast. You call right now, 308-9564. That's the number, 308-9564.
You can talk to us in two different ways. One, you can go live over the air. If you do choose to go live on the radio, we ask two things of you. One, that you give us your name so that we can address you and be courteous this way. But also that you would give us, be ready for you to turn down your radio as we begin to talk, so there will not be an annoying echo and cause confusion. And so that is what we request if you want to go live. And if you don't want to go live, you can have your question written down and brought into us. And be able to, we can go to the, find the answer that way. It can be written down and brought into us that way. Either way, the number to communicate with us by voice is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Now, there's another way to communicate with us via text. You can communicate through cell phone. If you would like to text in your question, you can do that right now. Also, it'll come straight to our studio here, and we will be glad to take your question that way. That number is 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line, and you can text us your question, and we also will get it and answer your question today on the radio broadcast. This is a live broadcast. Please do not mistake that. We are more than happy to get your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. I believe for the last going on two and a half years now, we have been able to stay live on the air every single week. And so we are happy to be able to be with you. We hope and pray that the things that you hear today will not be the doctrines or teachings of men, but rather what God says in His Word. And thus, our desire is to let the Bible speak. That's the name of this broadcast. That is our desire. We are only wanting you to hear what God says in His Word. So, if you have any question that pertains to life and godliness, maybe you heard something at church, maybe you heard something on another radio broadcast, or maybe you were brought up to believe something, whatever the case may be, if it pertains to life, if it pertains to godliness and going to heaven, the Bible answers the question. So call us right now, ask that question, and we'll give you book, chapter, and verse. Now, please remember, we're going to give you book, chapter, and verse. So make certain that you have a pencil and piece of paper so you can write this down and go and check us out to make certain that this is what God says in His Word. Now, just in case you have missed this and you want to hear it again, you can go back to our website, which is www.biblealone.com. Now, there's two things you can do there. One, you can listen to previous broadcasts. There's another thing. We have some of our resources on some of our most frequent questions that come up. under Bible study or Bible materials. You can click on that and download and print those out as much as you want. We have the correspondence course on there as well. And then also, we have a link to where if you have a friend or relative that is in another part of the world, either later at the other side of the United States or the other side of the world, you can, if you somehow can communicate to them right quick, they can tune into our website, which they can pick up all over the world at www.biblealone.com. And all they have to do is hit the live stream button, and they too will be able to hear this broadcast even as it unfolds right now. There's probably a delay of maybe 10, 15 seconds, but still they can listen in and tune in and even call in questions. So if you choose to do that and communicate with a loved one in another place, then let them know that this is area code 843. 843 and then the various numbers that we give out throughout the broadcast. Let them know that it is area code 843. So now you have your opportunity to call in your question. The lines are now available, 308-9564. We have the first question coming up, and we do want you to know that we're happy to receive your questions, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283.
You and I both find ourselves in this life receiving a great deal of blessings from God. Those blessings ought to do something to us. They should motivate us, so motivate us to turn our attention to Him. There are many blessings that are given to mankind. It's not isolated to just those who are followers of Christ, but are blessings that God has provided for all mankind. In Matthew chapter 5, in Matthew 5, verse 45, the Bible says He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And so here you have a God that pours out blessings on both good, those who are good, and on those who are evil. Blessings like the sun, blessing like air. We all have air, and that's both for the good, both for the just and the unjust. And so as we begin to think about these blessings, as we begin to count our blessings, what that should do is turn us in the direction of the Creator so that we can come in contact with Him, so that we can have a true relationship with Him and reap spiritual blessings. So we are familiar with these physical blessings, which we all share, but there are these spiritual blessings that God has in store primarily for those who love Him, those who will follow after Him. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible talks about a variety of blessings that God has for His people. I said Ephesians 3, but it's actually Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And so all the blessings that God has, at least the spiritual blessings, they exist in one place, and that's Christ. And so as a result of these physical blessings, that should cause us to turn to God and to go to Him for these spiritual blessings. There's a passage that people use often that comes out of the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8, and they misuse this text. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." But it goes on to say, "And to those who are called according to His purpose." And so all things work together for good, but there are some qualifiers here in this text. It's not just all things work together for good to anybody, but rather it's the one that loves God. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's the one that's called according to His purpose. Now, He has revealed His purpose in His inspired word. And so in order for me to come in contact with that spiritual blessing, I have to do what God says. In order for me to have all things working together for good in my life, allowing God to work, to allow things to work together for good for me, I have to love Him the way He says, and I have to be called according to His purpose, and thus I have to know what that purpose is, and I must fulfill that purpose in my life. I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, which says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole," or the whole duty, "of man." That's what we've been brought here for, to fear God and to keep His commandments. And so if I'm not doing those things, and I'm not in touch with, I have not come in contact with the spiritual blessings that God has for His people. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. That's the line here at the station where you can call and ask your question, or you can send us a text question at 725-9283.
We have Cece calling in this question. What is the difference with what Jehovah's Witnesses teach? They use God's word too. Well, there's a number of things that we could point out. Let me first point out their use of the word kingdom and how that they define the kingdom of God. Their teaching is that the kingdom was set up at about 100 years ago. And so that is their teaching, and thus that's when they started meeting in kingdom halls. However, the Bible says in Mark 9 and verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there are some of you that stand here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." Also, let's go to the next book, Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. They asked Jesus about when the kingdom of God was coming, and Jesus answered and said, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither will they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." When Jesus was on trial, he talked about his kingdom when he said, John 18:36, next book, John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world, for if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from hence, not from this." It's not going to be physical kingdom. Then Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we see not only did Jesus promise some that wouldn't taste of death till they see the kingdom of God, we see them in the kingdom of God. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul referred to himself being translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So Paul was in the kingdom. The Hebrew writer in chapter 12 and verse 28 said, "Wherefore receiving," present tense, active, "receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with godly fear." So there they were receiving the kingdom, and even John was in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. So John was in the kingdom. Paul was in the kingdom. They were receiving the kingdom. There was going to be some that would not see death till they see the kingdom of God come. So what does that say about when the kingdom of God was set up? And by the way, my friends, where is Jesus sitting right now? You're right. He's sitting on a throne. And who is it that sits on a throne? Yes, that's right. A king. When did he start sitting on that throne? In Acts chapter 2, we see him described as being raised up to sit by the right hand of God on the throne. And so there he reigns as king over his kingdom here and now, and it started 2,000 years ago. So, see, that's one thing. And so if that right there is clearly in violation to God's word, what about following after a system of belief that is foreign to God's word? When you look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Even if we," Paul says, "if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed," anathema. And so any other teaching than what was taught back then, they're to be accursed. And so there's just one example. There are others that actually violate even the person of Jesus. And so, Cece, I'd be very careful about that, because don't go after our teaching. Go after God's teaching. Go after what God says in his word. What we need to do is let the Bible speak. Thank you, Cece. Thank you for listening, and we hope and pray that has been helpful to you. It's time for us to take our first break. We do want you to know this is a live broadcast. Even while we are at break, you can call in your questions right now at 308-9564. Both lines are available. And if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we do want you to know that that correspondence course that we just mentioned is free. When we mean that, what we really mean is free. That is, please do not send us your offerings, your tithes, or any other gift. Let us send you a treasure that will last an eternity. How's that? We're more than happy to send it to you. It is a correspondence course where you will be able to go through God's Word and harvest the treasure for yourselves and see exactly what God says in His Word. And by the way, you might be interested in knowing, you will learn things from God's Word that you will not commonly hear in pulpits across the land. You will not hear preachers preaching about some of these things, but may I be so bold as to say, some of these things that if you are not aware that God addresses these things in His Word, they very well may keep you from going to heaven. It is so important for us to hear the whole counsel of God. Paul defended his ability, his service to God, by saying he shunned not to declare the whole counsel of God in Acts chapter 20. And neither should we, but unfortunately across the land, that's where all the different churches and flavors of churches came from, by failing to or adding to God's Word, failing to teach it all or adding to it. So do yourself a favor, enroll in this course at 553-5157. There's an operator standing by right now, and we'll send this to you absolutely free in the mail. There's no charge, never has been, never will be. There are thousands in the Charleston area that have already received this, and not one penny has ever been charged to anyone nor expected to be given by anyone. So don't hesitate to get this in the mail. Even we will send it tomorrow. The number again, 553-5157. Do yourself a favor. Learn what God says in His Word, not just what selected verses that man may want you to know. So let's go to the Bible and find out what God has to say. One more time, the operator is standing by to get your information and send you this course at 553-5157. If you've already done that, then go ahead and call in your question. You may have a question right now. We're live. We're interactive. You can go live over the air, or you can have it written down and brought in to us simply by calling 308-9564. Or, if you'd rather, you can text us if you have a cell phone at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart.
We have a question that came in from Martha. Martha, we sure appreciate you listening this week. Martha says, He is Lord on earth and in the earth. Where is this at, and what does it mean? Martha, it does absolutely sound familiar, but I cannot find that exact reference. So I'm going to continue to look for that. I don't think you're talking about Acts 17. There's a reference in Acts 17th chapter and verse 24 where Paul is preaching there at Mars Hill. And he says in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. That's different than the idea of Him being Lord on earth and in the earth. So I guess I have to continue to look for that. And if that's not the right question that I have, if you would not mind, call back and give some clarification. But the idea of God being Lord on earth or over the earth, the idea of Him, if we're looking at Acts 17 and verse 24, that God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hand. The idea of Lord there carries with the idea of King, Creator. He is the one that is large and in charge. He is the one that rules all things. That would be the idea. But if this is not the passage that you're looking for, Martha, and what I'm reading here is not exactly correct, just call back and give some clarification. We would greatly appreciate that. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. If you wish to sign up for the correspondence course that we talked about earlier at break, you can call the operator standing by at 553-5157, 553-5157. We call it a correspondence course, but it is an in-home Bible study that's designed to help you in your study of God's Word. If you prefer to reach us at the station by way of text, by sending us a text question, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a texter by the last digits of 011. We are glad to receive your question. Thank you for your question. Their question is, can man be considered saved and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? would the other nine gifts suffice? Well, the last part of your question, dealing with, no doubt, the nine different miraculous, supernatural, spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8, 9, and 10. There are nine different things there that are given. And these gifts were given by laying on of the apostles' hands in Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. And so that was his notice, and it was rightly noticed. And so that was obviously the way the Holy Spirit was given. And what gave the apostles the ability to do that? Well, they were given power from on high, as promised by Jesus himself before he ascended into heaven. And they were told to go back into Jerusalem and wait for the promise that they had heard from him. They went back to Jerusalem, and then on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, gave them the ability to speak with tongues, and these tongues were languages that man knew. In Acts chapter 2, this may be a surprise to you, and this may be confusing because of the way you worded the first part of your questionnaire. Can a man be saved and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm assuming that you're referring to that which is so commonly done in Pentecostal churches, type of churches today, where people, or this experience is evidenced by them, what people call speaking in tongues. Well, that speaking in tongues that is done today, let's compare that with what I'm about to read. In Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, that was referring to the sound as a rushing mighty wind back in verse 2, when the sound occurred, a multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Those were languages they were hearing. Their own languages, it says. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? That is a different word or changed up just a little bit to refer to the dialect of it. It would have been like Southern English, like what I'm speaking right now, not Northern English. It was even the dialect that they were able to speak in. Then he goes on and mentions several nations there, verses 9, 10, and 11. He's still mentioning them in verse 11 when he says, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So not only did they recognize the language, the dialects that they were speaking, they understood what they were talking about, the wonderful works of God. So not once, not twice, but three times in that very first and clear example of what speaking in tongues is about, it says those tongues were languages of men that they were speaking. So my question about your question would be, is that what you're referring to? Is that what you're referring to as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, that was the apostles that they received that. There's only this example and then another example in Acts chapter 10 where Cornelius and his household were given that ability to be able to prove that the Gentiles, too, can now inherit eternal life. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. Please pay attention to Acts 8, 18, and then also here in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. And you'll see that what we see in the Bible is not what's being practiced today. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate your question. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, the voice line, or if you want to text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
Martha calls this question in, or she gives a passage, and I take that to mean you want some clarity on it. She calls in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. I'm going to start back up in about verse 21. the Bible, Paul writing to the church at Colossae and talking about how these folks were, how that they were separate from this covenant of God. He says, verse 21, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled," verse 22, "the he being Christ, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Verse 23, "If indeed," and this is the verse she called about, "if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." The idea is that you are in the right relationship with Christ. You are the way you need to be if, verse 23, "if indeed you continue," he says, "in the faith." And so there is a requirement. Although Christ died to save the world, and a person may obey the gospel, a person can only be in a right relationship with him, according to verse 23, if you continue in the faith. Grounded, the Bible says, and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. That phrase, "preached to every creature under heaven," simply means that the gospel had come to the known world at that time. It was preached to everyone at that time. And that was the mission that Jesus had given his apostles there in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20, Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And again in the book of Luke. So Jesus would send his apostles out on a mission, a common mission, a commission. They were to go out and to spread this gospel to a lost and dying world, and they did that work at that time. I hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take a break. But even while we're at break, we hope that you would keep the questions coming in. So go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564. We're going to tell you about a free Bible course, Bible study course that you can do at home. And so we want you to pay close attention to this information we're about to give you. If you're interested in signing up for the correspondence course, then make sure you call the operator standing by at 553-5157. We're going to tell you about this information, and we'll be right back. Again, that number for the correspondence course is 553-5157, 553-5157. Let us go ahead and also take this opportunity to tell you about the website that we have. I may have mentioned this earlier. That's www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com. If you are a regular listener and maybe you've missed a broadcast, you can go to our website and you can listen to a previous broadcast. So we encourage you to take advantage of that resource. In addition to that, there are Bible materials on that site as well, designed to help you in your study of the scriptures. Again, that website is www.biblealone.com. But don't miss out on the Bible correspondence course that you can sign up for, again, by calling the operator standing by. That number again is 553-5157. All these resources are free. We just simply want to aid you in your study of God's word. We cannot encourage you enough to take advantage of these tools. Make sure that you are studying God's word. For it contains everything that pertains to life and godliness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So we cannot encourage you enough to make sure you stay in his word. You have to come to know God by coming to know what he says. And the only way you can know what he says is you have to study. Study in such a way that you show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us encourage you in that to take advantage of those tools or just simply to spend more time in the study of God's word. We encourage you also that as we give these scriptures, to turn to the scriptures so you can see for yourself as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So do that, please, not for our sake, but for your soul's sake. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call. I believe the lines are open. Absolutely. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. If you prefer to send in a text question, you can do that as well. The text line is 725-9283. Again, that text line is 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in response to my last question I went over, dealing with the speaking in tongues. The caller, which wishes to remain nameless, says 1 Corinthians 14 is about known and unknown tongues, and you made it seem like Pentecostal tongues is not valid when it is. Well, first of all, thanks for calling back, and for clarity, let me encourage you as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 throughout the chapter. It is dealing with the speaking of tongues and the attitudes that they had concerning that. Now, one thing you will notice as you read through this chapter, especially if you have the Old King James Version, you'll find out that when it uses the word unknown tongues there, that it is always italicized. The word unknown is not in 1 Corinthians at all, not even in the book. As far as the word itself, it was added by the translators. Whenever you look and see in the King James translations, at least, you will find out that whenever it's italicized, that means there is no corresponding word to that English word. They're letting you know by italicizing it. If you doubt this, go ahead and flip over to the front of your Bible and read the instructions in the beginning of your Bible. That lets you know what their little symbols and signs and stars and such mean. Well, whenever you see an italicized word, that means there's no corresponding Greek word in the New Testament or Hebrew word in the Old Testament. So first, notice that, and you'll see, in fact, the word unknown is not in the book of 1 Corinthians at all. You have to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 to be able to find the word in the Corinthian books at all. And there you see it in verse 9, and it has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. So first of all, notice that. Second of all, notice concerning the tongue speaking, while that seems to be a challenge here, notice in verse 19, God himself gives them instructions or parameters how they should use this gift that they had to be able to speak any language at any time, those that had this ability. It says, yet in church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, yours might have inserted a word there as unknown, and that word is not there. Matter of fact, it's not even printed in my translation here of the King James. And so it's this matter of the use of these tongues. If they were to use that, and let's say that I was speaking French, and no one in the group knew French, what would be the purpose of me speaking French to them then? That would just be an execution of vanity. And that's exactly what was going on that he's rebuking them there for. He says he gives them guidelines that everything is supposed to be done for edification. Look at verse 26. The end of verse 26, let all things be done for edification. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And then plus you could imagine what kind of chaos this kind of practice would be, where someone would be abusing this or have a wrong attitude, and the whole chapter ends with this bottom line. Notice verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, whenever you see the tongue speaking being practiced today in the various places and venues where it is done, I'm sure there are exceptions to this rule, but would you say that everything that is being done in an orderly fashion, and that one by one, well, it doesn't have to be one by one. Okay, let's look at verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in tongue, let it be two, at the most three, each in turn, and one interpret. Wait a minute. Matter of fact, what we're seeing is point after point after point where God's word is being ignored. I'm sorry if this is offensive to you, but not because of me, but because you may not be interested in knowing what God's word says. And that just very much makes me sad. What we need to do is to not follow emotions or what some doctrines of man may teach, or even people that may come with certain doctrines and certain things being practiced in groups. What we need to do is just let God speak through his word and follow it alone. And so we do want you to be able to just be mindful. What does God say? Because when all is said and done, God is going to have the final word. And so he's the one that we should be listening to. It's my understanding that you that maybe you called live and your name is Steve and you would like to talk to us live over the air. We're glad to do that. We do ask to let you know we're only going to give you book, chapter, and verse, and so please, we would ask you to do the same thing. So, Steve, how can we help you?
Yes, you stated that as far as tongues, the italicized version, and I do understand that. I actually have that in my King James Version as well. But the one thing that I think you failed to read out was is you failed to read the exercise of tongues, which was by one, two, or three at the most. What would be the purpose in that if they were just speaking known languages to people, first of all? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Let's answer one question at a time. So that answer will be found in verse 26, where it says, let all things be done unto edification.
Right.
And so that's the answer to that. We must, everyone must learn from this process. It is not a matter of emotionalism. It is a matter of that they all might learn. And verse 31 also answers that.
Ever spoken tongues?
Verse 31 says that all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged.
This is right.
Okay,
I don't disagree with
God
that.
Says.
I agree 100% with that. What I'm saying is, though, is that you mentioned Acts 10. The same thing that happened there when you referred to tongues being the 1 Corinthians 14 passage. It said, not only does it say that he that speaks in an unknown tongue, which is italicized, speaks straight to God. No man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So what does that mean? How do you determine that? If every man's supposed to understand, then why is it that it says that? Why is it that it refers to that?
Well, the what we just read is still the answer. It's still there.
You're avoiding the question.
All may learn and that all may be encouraged.
But you avoided the question, brother. You answer the question. The question is 1 Corinthians 14, the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks straight to God. No man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries.
Can I ask you why you're still saying unknown?
Because that's what the Scripture says.
Oh, so that's that word unknown is in your Scripture?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's italicized because it was added in because there
by
was
who?
Not a Greek word for that translation.
So what is a translation? What is being translated? The Scripture?
Is Have you ever spoken tongues?
I'm asking you a question. What is translated?
You're trying to defend something, and if you've never experienced that, it's hard for me to understand how you can defend it because it sounds as though, and you used a term that was offensive.
Well,
you said that we were looking for emotionalism or
sure.
We wasn't really looking at what the Word teaches.
In this chapter, we see that it says to speak one by one.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I want to conduct here as well. So please don't talk over me, and I'll try not to talk over you.
Okay.
All right.
So just going back, one, we know that the word unknown is italicized, and you said that was put in by the translator, and that's true. So that we know that that's not part of the Scripture. That was put in by man.
Okay.
So it talks about he who speaks in a tongue. A tongue is a language. And so if there's no one to interpret, then there's no one who can understand that language. Thus,
but
it
the
becomes
14,
one by one, sir.
But 1 Corinthians 14 explains that. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks straight to God, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries.
Second time.
Romans chapter 8, verse 26. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit takes over itself with moaning and groaning which cannot be uttered.
Okay, now that's Romans, right? Romans.
That is, Romans 8:26.
Okay, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 14.
Okay.
Okay, and we're going to go back to unknown tongue.
Oh,
right, and the word unknown is not in that text. All right, so a tongue is a language. It is a known language. Otherwise, it's of no profit.
Yeah, but if I'm in Africa and they speak an African dialect and I'm an American, I don't understand African.
Okay. That's right. Exactly right.
Right. That's exactly right. So when I speak in an unknown tongue, then I can speak in a language that may be a known language somewhere. It could be a known language. Yes. It could be a known language somewhere. But if it's a known language, it's not known to the person. If I'm in Africa, I don't know their language.
Right.
So there would need to be an interpreter for that, which I fully agree with 100%. But I also believe, just like we know through different things that we do today, just like texting. When you text and you write LOL, we all know now, we all know that means laugh out loud. But when they first started doing it, only the people that knew the language understood the language.
Okay.
So
now
in
let
my
me
opinion,
ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And I'd be glad to meet in person if you'd like to do this. And that is, give an opportunity to record you speaking in tongues with a recorder.
Sure.
And then we take that recording to several interpreters of your choice. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
You can choose them. And
sure.
Let's see if every one of those interpreters will interpret what you say exactly. Would you be willing to do something like that?
I would have no problem with that at all.
Well, I would like you to do that. Matter of fact, just do it yourself and see what happens.
Sure.
Okay. And then let me
give you an example of something.
Well, would you promise to do that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. I would like to hear back from you on that.
Let me give you an example. I got saved in 1993 in Germany. Coming from a club drunk. Nobody was there, no preacher, no pastor, no teacher, no nobody. When I got in my car drunk, I drove from there. A voice spoke to me and said, "Why are you running?"
Steve, we need to, this program is called Let the Bible Speak, so what we need to do is get that focused on what God says in His Word, and thus be able to see what God says rather than what somebody's testimony says.
As soon as I heard that, as soon as I knew that voice, I asked that voice, "Who are you?" The scripture says in Matthew that Jesus said what? He said, "My sheep hear my voice and they know who I am." Well, he called on me then. Well, that same night, not only did I hear that, but that same night I began to pray. And when I prayed, I began to speak in an unknown tongue to me. I don't know. It was coming out of me.
Steve, and I changed
from being a drunkard and a womanizer to being a man who loves his family, who has adopted children, and who loves God, and who loves people.
Okay, well, Steve, and what you offer is your personal experience. And what I tell folks that everybody experience is true to them. I have an experience, you have an experience. That constitutes truth, that's true to me. But it doesn't constitute Bible truth. The only thing that constitutes Bible truth is what the Bible says. And so some of the things you said actually goes against what we see in the Scripture. Now, we're
really?
Happy to sit down.
Tell me
and,
what
and,
goes
and,
against what you see in the Scripture.
Well, let me finish. Now, we're happy to sit down and study with you those things. Well, first of all, who does God speak through, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 1 and 2? And so that's why we have to go to the Bible.
Through his word.
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And you said through his word, but then you said he spoke to you. But you also said you were drunk. What I want
to
encourage
me.
You to do is let us sit down. We can sit down. We can open up
Paul
God's word.
Paul had revelations. Remember when Paul said, in the body or out of the body, I do not know?
Let me ask you a couple of questions, and I'm just going to pull out from your Bible knowledge so that you yourself will be teaching the truth in this.
Sure.
Is God a respecter of persons?
He is not.
Okay. If he gives you a revelation that he doesn't give everybody else, is he giving you special preference for revelation that he's not given to everybody else?
No, I believe it's for all those who are called according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
So everybody would have gotten that same voice that you got.
No, not the voice. That was an experience that God doesn't give everybody the same experience.
Well, where does the Bible say that God gives people an experience?
Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, he knocked Paul off a horse. Remember that?
Well,
he said, "Lord, is that you?" Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
He was calling him to be an apostle, and so you're right there. So where does that, once the apostles got the word and the word was written down, where has God given special revelation to anyone once his word was completed?
Did he knock you off the horse and you say that?
Are you answering my question this time?
I am. That's what, the way you're stating it.
What I'm saying is God's word is final.
Experience.
God's word is final.
With God.
Steve?
Right, but you,
God's word is final. We've got to find the answers there. And if you get any kind of revelation that
so
everybody else does not.
Do you believe all that stuff died
whatever
out?
Whatever happened to one-on-one, one-by-one? Okay, now listen, one at a time, please. Just let me give you the answer from God's word. All right. Once God's word was complete, it is complete. You know that as well, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. If
yes,
it is complete and we have all truth contained in his word, I think you believe that too.
I do.
Why would there be further revelation coming? Why would there be further inspiration coming? If we have it all, if you have it all, how much more is there?
Well, Matthew 16.
How
remember
much more
Peter
is there?
There? Remember Peter when in Matthew 16, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but this was revealed by my Father." He was with Jesus for a long time there before he got that revelation. Then he got that revelation because he sat there and he realized none of the rest of those guys that were with him had that revelation. Only Peter did.
We're taking
because he saw it.
Steve, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and move on with the broadcast. What we'd like to do is sit down and study with you. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is to go ahead and call the operator standing by. Give her your information so we can get with you. But we want to give other folks the opportunity to call in their questions so we can go back to God's Word and answer those questions. We do appreciate what you've said. I appreciate the fact that you were given scriptures. I think that's important. But I think it's just as important for us to sit down and open up God's Word and look at all the scriptures. One of the things that was brought out here is that we all agree that the book that we have in front of us, this Word of God, that it is complete. And I believe that's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so we have all things. Now it's just a matter of us sitting down and understanding those things alike. And I do believe that we can understand those things alike. I tell folks, I use the illustration about driving on the highway. We all drive on the highway, and we drive on the highway with comfort. But the reason why we drive on the highway with comfort is because I believe the next person is going to stay in their lane, and they believe I'm going to stay in my lane. Well, what's keeping them in their lane? It's not the line. It's not the dotted line in the road that's keeping them in their lane. But it is my belief that they understand the laws of the road much like I understand the laws of the road. And we all understand those laws alike. And that's the way life is. We have to understand things alike in order for us to have any type of relationship with one another. And so, Steve, again, we do appreciate you calling in today. And, again, I'm going to encourage you to call the operator standing by at 553-5157. Appreciate your passion. Appreciate so much the pastor scriptures that you were given. And so what we want to do is just get in touch with you, sit down, open up God's Word together. I appreciate the fact that you were not combative. That shows your heart, and so we do appreciate that. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. We're going to go ahead and take a break. But even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We are back live now. We do want you to know that you can bring in your question right now if you would like to at 308-9564. The lines are available, so go ahead and call in your question. And we will go to the Bible for the answer, and we make no qualms about it. We want to let God's word be heard and nothing else but God's word. And so go ahead and call in your question, and we'll go to the Bible. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse for what God says in his word. Again, the number is 308-9564, or you can text us, if you like, at 725-9283.
Well, we have a caller calling in don't have a name, but the question is, wine is a marker. What is considered strong drink? And I believe the idea of wine being a marker is taken from, or a marker, is taken from Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, where the Bible says, wine is a marker. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what strong drink is. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 talks about John the Baptist and how that he would not partake of strong drink. And so we really don't know what strong drink is. We know it's not wine, so it would not be on the same level as wine. We don't know what the alcohol content from the scriptures of what the wine contained, and we don't know what the alcohol content of what strong drink would contain from the scriptures. And so a person would have to do their own research and come to their own faith on that. I think there's a general sense of what that wine, the alcohol content of the wine back then had, and then there's a general sense of what would be considered strong drink. But again, if you're just looking to the Bible for an answer, the Bible does not give us the amount of alcohol that was in the wine that they had back then or the amount of alcohol that was in their strong drink. The Bible does, though, make a difference, or it differentiates between wine and strong drink. Again, two passages showing that is Luke 1:15 and then also Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Very good question. Sorry I could not be of help there. But it shows that, again, that you are paying attention to the scriptures and seeing things that are different and wanting to know more about it. And so I commend you in that. But join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. John calls in today and says, Jesus said the helper will come. So doesn't that mean more truth is still to come? Well, if we take and look, and what I encourage you to do is to read John chapter 14 through about 17. And if you don't read all those chapters together, you'll misunderstand, and I'm not saying that's the case here, that you misunderstood, but I say a person can misunderstand what Jesus is talking about, and you need to read John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17 to get the sense of what Jesus is talking about. First of all, what you'll note is that Jesus is about to depart from his apostles, and thus he promised his apostles specifically the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit was going to guide them into all truth. So Jesus was talking to his apostles. We see after you read John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, then turn over to Acts chapter 1, and you'll see that Jesus is assembled together with his apostles, and that's the context. In fact, I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Luke is the writer here. He says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs. So Jesus presented himself alive to the apostles by many infallible proofs, being seen by them, the Bible says, during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And verse 4, being assembled together with them, the Bible says, he commanded, them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And so Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And what is the promise? If you look at verse 8 of that same text, but you, that is to say, the apostles, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall not, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And all you have to do, as you take and you read John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, you'll see that the context never changes. He's talking to the apostles, and you'll see that in Acts chapters 1 and 2, that in fact Jesus fulfills that promise by allowing the Holy Spirit to come upon them and to give them power, and they all spoke. They spoke in tongues, and thus they revealed the truth that God had for us, what Jude calls the faith, in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, which once and for all has been delivered to the saints. If you read Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, you'll see that this faith has been delivered. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We have it. Very good question. We sure appreciate your question. Appreciate you calling in. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in this question. Is if someone steals food, is that a sin? Well, as I thought about that for a second, I thought, okay, well, let me think. All right. And then, here's what I would like for you to notice. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, all the way down to verse 34, we see God talking to God's people, those that follow him, saying, don't be anxious about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall put on. And he even blasts, said, oh, ye of little faith, that's what Gentiles worry about. And says, if we will seek first, verse 33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to them. So if we are a servant of God, if we're seeking God first, then we won't ever have to worry about that, because God says, God promises, those things will be added to us. And that's really just a fulfillment of what David said so long ago in Psalm 37, verse 25. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And especially in this country here, that is not something that is commonly observed at all. It's usually by choice in those kind of cases. But I'm sure there are some exceptions to that. But there's the promise God gives. If we will seek him first, he will make certain that we do not have to beg bread or do without food. And so we're going to go ahead. We kind of got off time as far as our breaks. We'll go ahead and take a break right now. And we've got some questions, but we do have room for more. Go ahead and call in your questions even while we are at break. Or if you're interested in the correspondence course, please do not hesitate to enroll. Here's the details on that. You will learn things that you may have never seen before in God's Word. So let's make certain that we do not miss out on what God would have us to know about life and godliness. The number to call, 308 for your questions, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
I want to reiterate how important it is for you to get into God's Word and study for yourself. And even as we've answered a lot of questions on the broadcast today, and we've had a discussion earlier, likewise, we continue to encourage everyone to look at the scriptures. You know, some of the scriptures that were given earlier, we encourage you to go and look at those scriptures. That's important, and make sure you read it in context. We ought not ever have any problem hearing the scriptures or listening to the scriptures and doing what the scripture says. And so I want to encourage the listeners to do that. The correspondence course material is material that will hopefully point you in the right direction as far as scriptures. We want you to go to the scriptures and see it for yourself. If you take my word for it, if you take Ricky's word for it, if you take a caller's word for it, then your faith is in man. But if you take God's word for it from his inspired word, then your faith will be in him. And so we want to always encourage listeners to make sure you do that, that no matter who you hear on the radio, even after this broadcast, you'll hear folks on the radio. Don't listen to man. Listen to God. And so let us reiterate how important it is to do that. And the correspondence course is just a tool to help you in that same endeavor. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. To join us right now with your question, go ahead and call the station. 308-9564 is the number to call. 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
We have a caller calling in this question. Their question is, what is the protocol for leaving one church and going to another? Well, let's go to the very first example where that may have occurred. In Acts chapter 2, we have thousands coming to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They arrived at Pentecost in Jerusalem for the purpose of keeping the day of Pentecost. However, they heard the gospel message. They assembled there, as we read earlier in Acts chapter 2. They heard the gospel message, and they ended up becoming children of God. Having heard the word of God, they said, "What shall we do?" They obviously believed it. They were cut to the heart. And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they continued to teach them. He encouraged them to save themselves from this untoward generation, so that showing that they were not saved yet. And then they received the word with all readiness of mind, and obeyed the gospel that day, being baptized, about 3,000 souls. They received the word of God and were baptized that day. And the verse 47 says what happened to them to show what they were added to. It says that the Lord added them to the church daily, those who were being saved. And so that's when and how that all began. Now, here's my question for your question. What was the protocol? Well, they stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't necessarily go into the temple and get a letter and say, okay, well, now we're going to be a Galileans, or we're going to follow the way, or we're going to follow this Jesus of Nazareth. Well, no, actually what that meant was if they did go that way, they could have been killed as well. They just started following the Lord, that's all. They just started doing what God wants them to do. And they left everything behind. And if I'm reading correctly, they didn't leave until Acts chapter 8, which was weeks and weeks away. And so they left their crops in the ground. They left their businesses at home. They left many things in order to hear the word of God. They couldn't just be given a Bible and sent home, but the Bible hadn't been written yet. So they had to hear the word of God through the apostles' doctrine. It directly came through the mouth of the apostles only. As you notice in chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it was up until that point that was all the miracles, all the signs, and all the teaching was done by the apostles. Then starting in chapter 6, the apostles laid hands on seven men, and they also joined in. They became prophets. I think we've got a question coming up about that. And so through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Then they also joined in teaching God's word, and it expanded from there. So how did they go from one to another? Well, they just started following the teachings of Christ. Now, there is another example that came to mind you might find kind of interesting. In Acts chapter 19, we see the Ephesians, when they heard the word of God, before they were practicing curious arts of various kinds of witchcraft and such, and when they learned the truth, they responded in a quite dramatic way. It brings out that verse 19, and many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That was close to $500,000 in cost of just the books and things that they had in their previous, quote, religion. And so they were burning their bridges, literally, in order to follow the way of Christ. And so we have one more example where if you're just going from one like flock of God's people to another like flock, the only example we have of that is in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, 27, where Paul came down from Damascus and sought to join himself to the disciples. They were afraid of him. Barnabas took him and verified that he was a disciple of Christ. And then it says he was with them going in and coming out. And so there's three passages, Acts 2, Acts 19, and Acts chapter 9. Hopefully that has been helpful to you. Thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate your listening, and hopefully you will take that and run with it and study more about what God says in his word. The numbers are 308-9564. The lines are available now, so go ahead and call in if you have a question. Or if you have a if you want to text us, you can do the communicate with us that way as well. 725-9283, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak.
We have a call calling in about Hebrews chapter 9 and seeking clarification on this chapter. Caller, we do appreciate you taking the time out to call us in, but I'm just not so sure that this broadcast can do justice to try to give you clarification and detail on Hebrews chapter 9. What I'll try to do is just kind of give you a quick high level. I'm going to apologize ahead of time because there are a lot of verses here that really needs to be read verse after verse after verse in order to get the picture. Essentially what's happening, it starts out of Hebrews chapter 8, the latter verse 13, says, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The book of Hebrew, as we understand, is written to Hebrew or Jewish Christians. And there is a contrast going on between that which they had under the law of Moses by contrast to that which came in the law of Christ. There's a picture of two covenants. There's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. In verse 13, it talks about that first, that being the first covenant becoming obsolete. And then it's old and it's ready to vanish away. And then as we get into chapter 9, it's going to talk about this second covenant that came in, that was ushered in by Jesus Christ. And it's going to show how that this second covenant was much better than the first covenant. And it lists several things that shows how that it was much better. That old covenant, they had animal sacrifices, but those animal sacrifices could not do the job. If you look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, it says that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead, from dead works to serve the living God? It was Christ's blood that cleanses. by contrast to the blood of bulls and goats. And I think that also comes out in also in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And so those animal sacrifices were not the sacrifice that God was looking for, but rather the sacrifice that he was looking for was that of Christ, and Christ came. And there's a contrast in chapter 9 of the high priest. And the Bible says in verse 11 that Christ came as a high priest of good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Again, this is a contrast to that tabernacle or tent, the place where the Ark of the Covenant lived and where the priests tended to under the law of Moses. There's this contrast. Those things under the law of Moses were a shadow of what was to come, a shadow of the true. But in Christ, the true tabernacle, that spiritual tabernacle, came. Jesus entered into that tabernacle. Jesus became the better sacrifice, and he offered himself for sin one time, unlike the animal sacrifices. And so what I'm going to try to do is end by reading verse 26 and following. The Bible says, verse 26, I'll start at verse 26. He then, talking about Christ, would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, talking about Christ. If his sacrifice wasn't good enough, then Jesus would need to continue to suffer. But he doesn't. It says, but now, once at the end of the ages, he, talking about Christ, has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's different than those animal sacrifices. Verse 27, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. The idea that Christ and his new covenant, this covenant that we love, the New Testament covenant, was much better than that old covenant. Jesus was a better sacrifice. He was a better high priest, and he brought in better things. And one of the things that Jesus Christ brought in was complete forgiveness of sins, never to be remembered again. But that's only for those who are in Christ, those who come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know more about being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to come in contact with the blood so that you can gain the forgiveness of sins, you go ahead and call that operator standing by, 553-5157. Let her know that you're interested in that, and then someone will give you a call and we'll set up a time to say the word. If we have some time at the end of the broadcast, we'll go into some detail in talking about how to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we encourage you to stay tuned. It's time for us to take our final break in this segment, and so we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. We do appreciate all the questions that have come in thus far, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Again, you have an opportunity to take advantage of the correspondence course. Go ahead and call the operator standing by, 553-5157. Prior to going to break, we may mention that if you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to come in contact with the blood of Jesus, you can call the operator standing by and let her know you're interested in that as well. So take down your information and we'll get back in touch with you to discuss those things. Those very important things, things pertaining to life. So we encourage you to take advantage of that as well. Again, that number is 553-5157. Join us right now. We still have a few minutes in the broadcast, probably 10, 12 minutes or so. So go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Andrew calling in this question. Andrew, thank you so much. We sure do appreciate your participating. His question is, please explain 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15. Chapter 7 and verse 15. Well, Andrew, thank you. That is a question that is a lot. There's a lot of controversy about that because it is a verse that is lifted out and used in so many different ways. First, let's explain it, and then if I have time, I might point out some of the things how it is abused. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15. But if an unbeliever departs, talking about marriage and talking about being married to someone that's a believer versus an unbeliever, it says, if an unbeliever depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, the verse, the word there, bondage, is the Greek word doulo, which has the idea of being enslaved, like shackled, being dragged around as a prisoner. And so that's the idea of what the word bondage means. So it says, just let them depart. You do not have to make yourself a slave to be abused, and that way to be drug around as a slave. So that's what the verse actually means. Now, sometimes this verse is abused from the standpoint that they will say, see there, they can, you can marry and divorce as many times as you want to. See there, God, the marriage bond is broken, but that's not the word. And if you want to see that word, you can see that in verse 39, where it says a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. And that's the Greek word dio, which has the idea of tied or in bonds, as far as you are connected together, you are united together. It calls to mind the statement Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so that's the marriage bond there. And so 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 15 does not say the marriage bond is broken. What it says is that you do not have to be a slave in that circumstance and drug around like a slave. And matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 7, the address of remarriage is just not there. Nowhere in that chapter does it even address remarrying at all. It just mentions how to conduct yourself in a marriage, how to behave with being a husband and wife, and if there's an unbeliever versus with a believer and there's a problem there, it never addresses the idea of remarriage. And so, Andrew, I hope that's been helpful to you. It is entirely a different word than what some people would make that out to be. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very, very much. It is so easy for us to listen to what people say and never check it out. So check it out for yourself. Go in there and look and do your own research. And also notice that the chapter never mentions remarriage. Thanks, Andrew, very much. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. If you hurry right now, you might be able to get your question on today's broadcast. Don't hesitate. Call right now, 308-9564. Or you can also text us at 725-9283. And if you're wondering, just in case your question is not able to be squeezed in today, we will begin the broadcast with your question next week. So don't hesitate about that. We mentioned earlier that we would like to share with you just a few things about how to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. We have a question, though, before we get to that, so go ahead, Nick.
Someone called, sent in this text message, and I'll do my best to answer it. The last three digits is 084. It says, are prophets the only ones that has direct spiritual communications or connection to God where they can tell you what God is saying to you or wants you to know? And sound like the way this is written, it almost sounds like present tense. We do know that prophets, at least in the Bible, prophets in the Bibles, they did receive communication from God by inspiration of the Spirit. It says, does God speak to them directly? Well, God could have spoke to them by way of the Holy Spirit, and I guess that's the idea of directly. And it says, where in the Bible do they talk about prophets? Does God show them or tell them who the idea who to seek out and give prophecy to? I think the simple answer is when we start talking about prophecy or revelation, we're talking about God giving revelation. The Bible shows us that God today is only speaking through one. And then that one only sent out a certain people to communicate his message as what we call the revealing of revelation. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And so the Bible says that God is only speaking by his Son. You may be familiar with the passage where Jesus is on the mount and he's transfigured. I believe that's Matthew 17. And there is a voice that comes from above that says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So God is talking about hearing Jesus. Now, you take a note that Jesus would spend 3.5 years with his apostles on this earth. In the book of John, the 16th chapter, Jesus let them know that he was going to be leaving them, but he still had many things to say to them, and that he was going to send them a helper. This came out earlier in John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Now, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And then he says in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And so Jesus would send the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. In the first century, you did have those who were in the roles of prophets. And again, they were speaking by inspiration of the Spirit. And what they were doing, they were revealing God's word. Now, once God's word was revealed, they did something that was unique. I call it unique because what they began to do was they wrote it down so that you and I could have a record of it. In Ephesians the third chapter in verse 3, Paul says how that by revelation, that's prophecy, revelation, spiritual revelation, he, Jesus, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, he says, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so that message was written down for you and I. And now we have that written message from God. And thus we don't have a new revelation. We have the same old revelations that the apostles had, that revelation that was given to them, that they wrote down so that when we read, we can have a knowledge of the mystery. And if I have a knowledge of the mystery, it is no longer a mystery. And we make mention of this passage from time to time, but it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so then if I need instruction in righteousness, I go to the Word of God. And that's where I'm going to get it from. I'm not going to get it from a prophet. I'm not going to get it from an apostle. I'm not going to get it from someone who professed to be that God is talking to them. If I need instructions in righteousness, I have to go to the Word of God.
We are just about out of time, and we do want you to know that we are glad that you have joined us today as we've gone to the Bible for the answers. Hopefully that has been helpful to you as we've gone to the Bible, and thus may the Lord be glorified as we look and see what God would have us to be and to do and to practice today. And we thank you so much for your participation in this. No doubt you have a desire for happiness and joy and fulfillment that only God himself can give. And it will not come by seeking after the things of this life, physical things, money, position, things that we can boast of, but only by yielding to our Creator's touch, obediently loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, obeying his word in every way, learning to be content with such things as we have, and seek those things that are eternal. What we must do in order for that to occur is we've got to find answers in God's word, not in church doctrines, not in our feelings, not in experiences, not in what the pastor says, not in family, but in what God's word says. That's the only way that we can honestly show ourselves approved unto God. We've got to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And thus, when we see what God has to say in his word and we yield to that, then we find that happiness and that joy and fulfillment that God intended for us to have. After all, look at this world that he's given us to woo us, to win our hearts. Why not respond by doing what he says as we go to his word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness? What we must do is let the Bible.